for water.
All right, we'll call to order the December meeting for the Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First item on the agenda is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved. Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Second item is adoption of the minutes. Take a minute and look at the November minutes. Is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
So moved. Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Public comments.
Before you go to that, did Tony join in or is he still offline?
He is on.
So Tony is now present.
So Tony is now present. Any public, do we have anybody else other than Tony?
We have one person.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Do they want me?
Do they want to make a public comment or?
Dial star 6 if they would like to make
okay.
a comment.
On star 6, if you could hit star 6 and you would like to speak to the Planning and Zoning Commission, please do that.
Is it Mr. Dugan that's on?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Tony's here. I'm sorry.
Oh, is that?
That's Tony.
That's Tony. So we don't have anybody else.
Yes, I've been on. I didn't realize I was muted.
Okay, so that was Tony then, right?
That's Tony.
Okay. So hearing nobody for public comments, move on to old business, which is prohibited uses. I actually just very quickly took Kathleen's advice, and I went back and I read chapter 15 last time to look at that. And
that's why I have a migraine.
Yeah, really. I did have, here, let me pull this up. Before I talk about prohibited use, I had a question. Looking at our districts, there are two districts that just don't make any more sense. One is our B3 district, which is our business district over on Curie Beach and Fort Fisher. That was originally a gift store.
Right, that's gone.
That's gone. And it's all residential now.
And the one down at Fort Fisher is gone too.
Right. So we've got a couple business districts that are no longer, I mean, there's still a district, which means that somebody could put businesses there and things like that. And I just wonder whether we want
Were they rezoned for residential?
No, they weren't. They're still a business district. I mean, that's still what is in the ordinance. And so I'm wondering if we want to put on the future agenda, I mean, can't do it tonight, evaluation of rezoning of business districts that are no longer business districts.
Yeah, and actually at Alabama and Florida.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. Business. The other one that doesn't make any sense whatsoever is the B4. So it's B3 and B4. B4 is residential / laboratory. And this district now is all residential. It's built out as residential. So anyway, I would suggest if it's okay that we have as our, put on our January, the examination of possible rezoning of a couple of our districts that are. And I know rezoning is a big issue. I mean, that's a complicated process. So you may want to comment on that.
I mean, if it's all built out, no one's going to do anything with it anyway.
But they could. Yeah, they could. I mean, somebody could, in one of these districts, put a McDonald's if they wanted to.
Is the B3 district where that development was put in at Curie Village Way?
Yes, that's the B3.
That doesn't look like that's going anywhere.
No, it's not. But, you know, why let... I just think that we ought to have a district that reflects what it is.
The map ought to reflect what is actually there.
Yeah. We could rezone or we could text amend B1, but I didn't want to get up and address that. What I did want you all to know and to keep in mind is we really have a very big project in front of us that we need to start turning our attention to directly and almost exclusively in January. January to meet the July 1 deadline, considering council's action in June and council's public hearing in May. We've got the major task of rewriting Chapter 15 for 160D. We haven't started that. We need to do that. That's going to be a big project. So I want you all to keep that in mind, because that starts in January. It'll occupy a lot of our time.
It would. I think when I'm talking about the B3 and the B4 district, I don't think that would take very long. It's simply a motion to change B3 and B4 into whatever residential district, like an RA1 or something like that.
That's simple. It ends up being text amendments, and that requires report and review and council's public hearing and council's action.
Yeah, okay.
Consistency statements and drafting the text amendments.
Let's save it for a day when we're bored.
Okay.
I do think it has value, though, because it may not be an issue today, but it might be in 3 years' time.
I think it's a good point. I just want you all to balance where we're going with what we need to do.
Right. And
we have a lady's plan coming up behind that, the 160D, so it's going to be a busy 12 months.
I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that...
Well, how about if we put it on the agenda, and if we don't have time, we'll just table it and keep it going.
Well,
I mean, if that's okay.
Can we just set it for the agenda for January 2022?
Are you talking about putting it on the agenda for discussion?
And if we don't get to it, we'll just table it to the next month.
But I
like to have it on the agenda as an issue.
My question is, I don't have to draft anything.
No. We're just putting it on the agenda for discussion.
A placeholder.
Yeah.
Okay,
anyway, that as I was going through...
You really shouldn't do that on the agendas. I mean, you guys know in the back of your mind that it's something that needs to be addressed, but just to have something hanging out on the agenda that's never resolved, it doesn't make for good record.
Yeah,
I mean, personally, I would like to address it, but it's...
I get it, and I understand that, but Jim does have a point. I mean, we've got 160D coming up, we've got the land use plan coming up, and...
What's
I only have so much budgeted.
What is on our January? What is on the January agenda right now?
Your HBC is going to be on there.
What is it?
HBC. P&Z is going to review it, right? Correct, Jim?
Yeah, that's going to be a review.
Still have to figure things out. I'm drafting the historic district text amendments for P&Z to review in January.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah, she's right.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll just hold off, and then when it looks like we're going to have an empty month, we'll go ahead and put that on.
I think it's a great idea. I'm just saying.
I mean, I just hate to see things sit out there that just doesn't make sense.
Well, and Ms. Sanders' point is well taken. I mean, it's not any additional effort to have it as an agenda item sometime soon to discuss and reach a consensus on where you want to go with it. It's where you want to go with it in doing that we need to be careful in budgeting our time. But discussing it it's no expenditure of time on my part to discuss it.
But research for the legal is.
Yeah, remember
we're still in the same budget here.
We couldn't understand why. Yeah, okay.
Coming up, Emily's plan.
Yes.
I have to kind of hold back a little bit.
I know it's kind of a silly suggestion, but is there a way just to put it on a future, move it forward a year,
put it on
January 2022?
I can put it on my calendar for you guys to revisit in June of this year.
That would be good. Right, then it's not in front of us. But
I don't think anything's going to happen. It's just that it's sloppy the way it is right now. It's sloppy.
So I'll make a note that you guys would like to address it.
Thank you.
Okay.
That works.
All right. So anyway, this now gets us to prohibited uses. I'm overwhelmed by this whole thing of prohibited uses. I did have one question as I was looking at the RA, all the residential things where, and they do vary. Some do allow some businesses, many of them don't mention anything about business. They just talk single and multifamily. In a residential Here, let me just pick like a RA3, I think. RA3, I think it was. Yeah, here it is. RA3, permitted uses, one family dwellings, two family dwellings, multiple, boarding houses, guest houses, tourist homes, etc., hotels and motels. Now, hotels and motels are a business. Does that mean that we would then have to identify in the RA3, because we allow hotels and motels, all the other businesses that we don't want to have there?
No, again, I think in some, look, here's my thought on prohibited uses. Number one, I think you picked the 6 or 8 most important to you, point one. Point two, let me look at it, of course, and live with it and think about it and analyze it. Of course, that gets back into our budget and our workload that's coming up. But those general points aside, I think the solution is going to be to figure out what your important prohibited uses are and to figure out where you don't want them. And if that takes care of the problem across the board, fine. It may not. We may have to consider allowing them to be somewhere in a place that you can live with, and maybe they can't. You know, we talked about that little, somebody mentioned that little triangle where you could put something. I forget who said that. But the way the analysis should work based on that court decision I keep referring to is it should work as following. We know that the catch-all prohibition against uses that are not listed in the table of uses is null and void. We know that no longer works. I think we have that in the ordinance, but it no longer works. We also know that notice need, and that decision is based on the court's analysis that notice needs to be provided to the property owner of what they can do and what they can't do. And if the zoning ordinance doesn't provide that notice through a catch-all provision, it's not fair to the free use, it's not fair to property interest in the free use of property. And we accomplished that in several respects because we have a section in Chapter 15 that specifically lists prohibited uses. For example, container housing. In those instances, it worked to simply plug in that use within that section. For example, because container housing doesn't raise First Amendment issues or free enterprise issues. As we discussed last month, some prohibited uses should not per se be listed there because of First Amendment uses and the constitutional right to engage in enterprise. It may be sufficient if you study your districts to say, okay, we're not going to let, we have a problem with X. X is one of the prohibited uses we would like, is one of the uses we'd like to prohibit it. Take a global overview and say, we're not going to allow X in this, and this district. What does that leave you with? Maybe it leaves you with some districts that are already so built out it can't go in there. I mean, that's one approach. The other approach, the other prong of this court case that I keep referring to is this. We know the catch-all provision doesn't work, that's null and void. We know sometimes we might be able to put a prohibited use within a certain district, and that may actually address a lot of your concerns. It depends on what your prohibited use list is. But the other analysis that John needs to go through, and he's done this before, I think, with the golf cart lot, and I missed that he was doing it when we first got into all that. Somebody wants to go into RA with use X. You go to your RA regulations and use X is not addressed one way or another. We know we can't prohibit it because it's not listed because of that Supreme Court case that I keep referring to. We also know it's not listed as a prohibited use in that little section of the code. So John therefore has to analyze use X to the closest other use that we do regulate that is close enough to what X is. For example, if I want to do an archery range, and archery range is not addressed anywhere in the code, I would look to see if shooting range is addressed in the code. And assuming that it is, I'm allowed to regulate the archery range based on the shooting range regulations. So these are the things that you need to keep in mind. Get your list, and let's look at the districts where we don't want those. But get your list, and let's see if that list, if any part of that list can go into the section that expressly lists prohibited uses. For those uses that are on your list that don't fit into the express listing of prohibited uses, let's figure out what districts you don't want them in and text amend those regulations. In determining what districts you want them to go in, consider what other districts are left to see if they could ever get into those districts based on a variety of circumstances. For example, if, again, use X. I don't like use X. Use X is a prohibited use. I don't want it in any of my residential districts, so I'm going to text them in each residential district to leave it at, to make sure it's not in there. Which serves the same function as that little section of the code, the list of prohibited uses. We're just listing them now in the district regulations because they don't fit nicely by themselves because of constitutional issues in that other list. So we're going to text them in all the residential districts to leave it out. What is left? You look at what's left and you determine, among other things, well, how built out is that district? Can X even go in there? If there is space in some of the leftover districts that X could probably go in, and X has some constitutional issues supporting it so that you can't ban it outright, then consider the geographical, the measurement restrictions. You can't have X 1500. You figure out what district it can go in. Is that district close to anything that's important, like I know it doesn't work, but for example, a school or a daycare facility or a hospital or a halfway house or whatever. And if you found that there was a district where you could put this thing and you therefore allow it to be in that district, but you set up geographical restrictions so that it can't go in there, under the current uses that surround it, then that's how you approach these things. It's a very comprehensive and sophisticated process, but if you can't ban it outright, you can prohibit it in certain districts, figure out what's left, will it fit in those districts, and if it will fit in those districts, then you can figure the measurement requirements to make it difficult but not impossible.
Okay, might I suggest then we come up right now with the 8 things that we don't want to have in Curie Beach. And that
residential, both districts?
Anywhere in Curie Beach.
Anywhere, okay.
Anywhere in Curie Beach right now.
Let me, for the record, since we're having minutes, and since some of the uses may be constitutionally protected, why don't we rephrase the statement by saying, let's identify not the 6 or 8 that we don't want anywhere, but the 6 or 8 that we'd like to regulate as strictly as possible.
Okay, that's a fair statement. Yeah, so let's identify the 6 or 8 that we would like to regulate. And if we could just come up with that list tonight, then we can talk about that list and how best to regulate that in our January meeting. Is that acceptable?
That's fair. I'd okay. Write it down while... We're talking.
You want to get us started on
the only other somebody thing needs. I caution you about is I think my remarks indicate that once you compile the list, how we're going to deal with it involves some effort, time and effort on my part. And I would ask you to keep in mind the discussion we just had about time and effort and budget.
Let's come back, because I think that if you would give us the language or point us to the right where we could find the language by other communities that have done this, then we might be able to do a lot of that work ourselves.
I don't think I can do that. I think it's a question of analyzing. I take your list and I see how each of those uses may have some constitutional issues. And then the second step is pretty easy. You all, not only do you decide what the 6 or 8 uses are, but what districts you don't want them in. That's easy. You can do that for me. But where it starts to get a little more complicated, if you want to really strictly regulate those things, is you come up with your list, fine. Doesn't involve me. You figure out what districts you don't want it in, fine. Doesn't involve me. Then the question is, if they're constitutionally protected, what, and if you want, if you feel like more needs to be done than you've already done by prohibiting in those districts, then that's when the real work starts, because we got to figure out what, then we got to look at the what's left over, what are the other districts, how are we going to handle that, can we, and what's the nature of those districts. But identifying them and identifying the districts you don't want them in, that's pretty easy. We still have to draft the text amendments to do that and jump through all those Chapter 15 hoops. It's beyond that that the real analysis has to start if you want to go beyond what residential districts you don't want them in.
And before we go on and start making this list, has everyone gone through the special use permit process in our code?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems to me that somebody could come and ask for a special use permit to open up a tattoo parlor, I don't know, something. And then, but then, well, you know, there's specific guidelines for acquiring a special use permit. And so I think some of the things that would be considered prohibited would fall under this, where John would say, well, it doesn't conform with the area, or, you know, whatever, you know.
A couple of
and
points.
The town council, right? The town council has to approve it. There has to be a public hearing.
Well, I need to correct you on a couple of points, but yes, you're absolutely right. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to recall it. Another way to go about, an additional way, you know, that's a good point. And we've talked about this before. You can do a lot of regulations, all right, 4 or 5 points. You can effectively regulate red button issues through the special use permit, point one. Point two, I haven't looked at your code very much, but my recollection is it should be beefed up regarding the standards that a special use permit application has to go through. I read some of those standards to you, but these are legal standards that are well established through decades of case law, which are, I believe, are codified. So you've got a list of uses that require a special use permit. So if somebody wants to do that use, they have to come, and I guess it's in front of town council, it usually is. You have a quasi-judicial hearing, not a public hearing. And the applicant has to put forth, just like in a court of law, evidence to show that he has met those standards. And if he doesn't put that evidence up there, then the special use permit is denied, and that's the end of the story. If he has put the evidence up there and the special use permit is granted, town council can also impose reasonable conditions on that special use, like for parking or some sort of noise fence or whatever. So that is another effective way to go about these things. So if you get your 6 or 8 uses, you figure out what districts you don't want them in, maybe the most effective way to address the remaining issues with those 6 or 8 uses you don't like is to put them in the special use category. But still, you're still talking about text amendments
Let me, from my understanding of special or conditional use, because you can use them,
right.
You know, we call them special use permit, but in some states it'd be conditional use permits.
160D, they're going to be called special use.
Right, but from my understanding is that you can't use the special use permit process to prohibit things. That you can only use a special use permit to provide conditions, reasonable conditions to that.
They have to, you can approve or deny.
Okay, I mean, let's...
I'm 100% convinced of that.
Yeah, John wants
John?
To say something.
I might just jump in there a little bit.
You're on.
You're on.
Okay, I think Jim just hit a really good point there. We can regulate a lot of things with special use permits, and I feel like what we're talking about here is redundant with what you've been talking about with the historic preservation district. Same thing with the prohibited uses altogether. I mean, I feel like we're recreating the wheel about three times at the same time here, and that we should be utilizing the special use process more often than not, especially with some of this historic preservation stuff that we're talking about right now. I just want to put that out there because, once again, I feel like we're trying to do the same thing in a couple of different areas right now.
Well, I almost think the COA process for historic districts is pretty close to the special use permit process, but I totally agree that this town can maximize the special use permit process, strengthen up those code provisions, and use it to effectively regulate situations that you're concerned about. Craig, the applicant for a special use permit has to prove his case, and he's either voted up or down. If he's voted down, he can take it to Superior, well, either party can take it to Superior Court for a review, but it's an up or down vote.
And we have.
You can solve a problem before it becomes a problem.
We've already gone through this because about 7 or 8 years ago, we went through all of our permitted uses. And we defined and had a big conversation in the P&Z, and John was there too, going through and putting little S's by all these different uses that would require a special use permit. So as I'm looking at, for example, the B1 district, and parking lots require special use permits, service stations require special. So we have gone through and defined those areas that we felt would be necessary for a special use permit.
It's not so much whether you put an S on the use, it's how you drafted your special use.
That's a different issue, but we've certainly identified the need and applicability of using special use permits to manage many of these different uses.
And what I'm suggesting is we can add to those S's with some of these prohibited uses that you're concerned about. And depending on how your code handles it, when I read from the other jurisdiction, there were 8 standards they had to prove by evidence. And for example, one of them is, my use is harmonious with the other uses in the district. If you come into a residential district and you want to open a tattoo parlor, that's not harmonious. You deny it.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. Just so I think everybody is clear, is that's a different than a COA, it's because special use permit by definition is a use issue, and a COA is, by definition, is an architectural issue and a design issue. So they are different issues.
Hang on just a minute. Hey, John, do you know what part of the Chapter 15 special uses is in?
15.08.
Disregard that, John.
15.08.
It's right here.
District. And hit on what Craig just said. Yes, they are separate things, but I'm just still trying to figure out what you guys find so historic about the downtown Cherry Beach area.
No comment.
That's why we're trying to change the word from historic. There's historic, again, that's exactly why the word historic is inappropriate. Because there's about 5 different categories. Historic being only one.
Hey, we can call it the spaceship district. That doesn't mean it's spaceship there.
John, John, if I understand you correctly, you would forego the historic district approach and just make uses in that district that could be controversial, special use permit. Is that what you're suggesting? Generally.
I'm suggesting that we explore other options before we keep marching down this road. And what really set me off on that was the matrix that was sent out about what would or wouldn't be approved by, you know, the Building Inspection Department versus the Historic Preservation Commission and the COA and things like that. And the purpose here is we want to encourage development. We want to encourage it. And what I saw in that document was not encouraging anything other than promoting an historic district that doesn't really look historic to me. This is not downtown.
John, don't use the word historic. That is the state legislator definition. But when you look at what is in the word historic for historic district, historic only is one of five different categories. And that's why we even talked about here in the prior meeting about changing the title from taking out the word historic. In fact, there are several historic districts in North Carolina that don't even have the word historic in it. It's just a category for regulations. That's all the word historic means.
Okay, I'll fall back on my other argument there. We want to encourage development.
And that's what we're trying to do. We want to encourage development, but we want to have it look nice. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm good.
And the COA process is when we first picked all this up, given the prohibition in the statutes against regulating exterior features, the only other way we could get at it was through the COA process, like you discovered.
Right. And that's the sole reason why we're doing this.
Your code is actually better than I thought. Here's what somebody has to prove for you. First of all, you figure out what uses you want to make require a special use permit, but the applicant has to prove the following four things. That the use will not materially endanger public health or safety if located where proposed and approved. That the use meets all required conditions and specifications. That the use will not substantially injure the value of adjoining property or that the use is a public necessity. And that and this is one of the main ones, that the location and character of the use, if developed according to the submitted plan and approved, will be in harmony with the area in which it is located and in general conformity with the comprehensive plan and other plans for the area. So if somebody comes in again with a red button use that just doesn't fit, that's your legal standard for denying the application.
Would a very simple solution is take out, if it's not allowed, it's prohibited, which you've already said is not, we can't have that, and simply say if it is not specifically allowed, you need to get a special use permit for it. That seems to be a simple solution to this whole discussion.
From my perspective, that's a bold and breathtaking, simple solution. I'd like to think about that. Maybe that works. I have to think about that. That's an interesting proposition. I've never seen it done that way, but that maybe that is the, I'm just saying maybe, because that's big, that's radical. I've never seen it. But it, at first blush, it solves the riddle that you've been bringing up for months now. How do you be proactive and prohibit or regulate, is a better word, uses that you're concerned about? So that's an interesting approach, but I'd like to think about that.
It's a very broad brush. I kind of like it.
Yeah. It certainly takes care of the emotional distress we're all going through.
It doesn't say that you can't do something. It just means you've got a process to follow, and if we've got the right bullet points in the chapter,
it would be your own
in the code right there.
Yeah.
John, do you have a comment on that? I'm not saying you should. I'm just curious if you do.
I actually was hoping somebody would repeat what Craig just said because I totally missed it.
He was basically saying that if you're dealing with a use that's not covered in the code, and it's not closely analogous to a similar use, that you just treat that as a special use permit use. So anything.
I think that's totally covered in everything that I was just saying earlier. Absolutely, that's great.
So you want to think about that?
Yeah, I do. It's bold. I've never seen it done.
It certainly would be a nice stopgap to deal with the issues, and then we could talk about this as problems may develop. But that seems to be a very, very simple solution to what we're talking about.
Just require a sentence in the special use section.
Take out the what's no longer allowed by the Supreme Court and simply replace that with you have to get a special use permit.
It's a very interesting idea. I salute you on it, but I do want to think about it.
I don't mind being bold. I think that's a good approach.
What happens when you get migraines? So with that in mind, I believe that the attorney will think about that suggestion and...
I don't need a motion.
No, but just continue 5.1 discussion until January then?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Do we need a motion for that to continue?
We're not going to take any action on discussing specific cases.
We're going to wait for the top eight. Everybody's out there.
The top eight, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any new business? Again, we need to probably think about, make sure our date for our January meeting is okay for people.
Are we going to get a schedule from the Land Use Committee on when we're going to be needing to do something? Or
you're probably a couple months out.
We're
going to have a Land Use Plan Committee meeting in December. We will have one in January to look at, hopefully y'all will review and give us some feedback.
Okay.
And then also, we need to look at the ordinance changes since 2006 with the Land Use Plan Committee. West from the Council of Government is coming to speak to Council the 14th of December about their input in helping us rewrite the Land Use Plan. So y'all probably will not touch anything until probably February.
Okay.
Earliest. But y'all will we will have the public hearings with P&Z. We will work closely together. So the Land Use Plan will pass this off to y'all.
And you're not going to have a meeting in December, but one in January?
Correct.
Okay.
Anything to cover.
Is it okay for us? It depends on what the COVID regs are.
Chairman, what did we decide about? I thought at one point BZC was going to provide LUPC with some what it thought was important for the land use plan. I thought we decided.
That was kind of in it because it was based upon what was done in the 2006 land use plan. But I'm not sure. I think the land use plan has probably got a pretty comprehensive list at the present time. Is that?
Yeah, we did do that.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if we need to do that. I think probably the role of the land use plan would be to work on the public hearing because we would be the mechanism for doing the public hearing on that. And if individual members of the planning and zoning want to attend and provide their input. I mean, these are open meetings, for the land use plan.
Yeah, call-in information is provided.
Yeah.
For a virtual meeting, because we can't go over a certain amount in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what. Yeah.
So if anybody wants to call in and give their suggestions, I think that would be fine.
I think it would be good just to call in just to stay abreast of what's developing.
Just to listen. Do you all have minutes and all for a minute? And it's in there posted, right?
We can get minutes.
Okay, so we can look at that too. Okay.
I've got a request from staff, and we were helping as well.
Minutes would be for a regular board meeting.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we're talking about the land use.
No, not saying that.
So let's just summarize. LUPC is going to cancel its December 8th meeting because COG is going to make a presentation to council on the 14th, which will provide guidance for the comprehensive list that LUPC has developed and actually may end up just handing the reins over to COG. At some point in time, There's contemplated a joint meeting between LUPC or PZC in which a public hearing will be held?
Yes.
And is that somewhere in the midst of COG's involvement or after COG's involvement?
I won't comment on anything until after the 14th. We'll see what they say.
Okay. So the contemplated joint meeting with the public hearing is something that we anticipate will happen, but we don't know exactly when yet. Is that a fair statement?
I know originally HPC said that PZC may have a public hearing regarding the design guidelines. Is that still going to happen? That was on your form, or is it just going to be town council?
I think I raised that possibility, but Beth makes a good point. Is PZC going to, first of all, the design guidelines are HPC's baby from start to finish.
Yeah.
So I don't know that PZC has a role in that, but we did contemplate possibly public input on the same. Is that something that we discussed?
I personally think we need to have a public hearing, you know, for design guidelines. I mean, certainly. Let's talk about that in our January meeting when we look at the design guidelines. Yeah. Okay. Our January meeting, when is that scheduled? Make sure it's okay for everybody.
January 5th.
Is that okay for everybody?
Yeah.
Tony, are you still on, or is that okay for you too? Tony?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. All right, so we don't need to make any changes. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Yeah.
Yay.
Aye.